Provincial Compter and Provincial Treasury, SALGA, the Office of the Auditor General in the Eastern Cape, as well as the local municipality, Amatole District Municipality. I know we might be meeting for the first time in this nature, but I think we have met before, so it might not necessarily be a long process to introduce ourselves, but it might as well help us so that we don't miss out on people who might be part of this. This is a follow-up meeting, a meeting that took place, I assume 2021. I was not part of the meeting, but members of the portfolio committee, they are. So this is a follow-up meeting. This is how I would want to stress it. And number two, it's part of our program of actually looking at the state of municipalities in the country. So Amatole is following a number of municipalities that we've engaged with recently. But there were specifics that actually attracted the portfolio committee then. It were media statements that were indicating that Amatole was likely not to be able to pay salaries for employees then. So that's why I'm saying follow up. And caused by a number of issues that were raised, which I think we will want to be updated on such matters. Issues like the grading of the municipality, the bloated organizational structure, and a number of other issues. I'm sure members would be able, and the municipality itself be able to remember those. So that is why we are meeting. And like I'm saying, it's a follow-up meeting. But let's start with introductions so that we can, you know, don't just talk to, I have been informed and given a list of members who might be part of this. I'll just talk to those who are leading the delegations, and then it will be up to them to say who is there. Oh, it's not a long list. I'm informed that the MEC for COGTA in the province, MEC Williams, is part of the meeting, and the head of department, Mr. Fani, and DDG Mlogoti, and Ms. Bart. At least we are aware that there will be such, but obviously when any of the leaders there want to speak, they would indicate. I'm also informed Treasury, we have got them Ms. Mboko and Mr. Macheke, who is HOD, and Mrs. Nombulelo Oliphant, and Ms. Kumesa Sikuza. Ms. Kumesa Sikuza, Ms. Pumla Pogota, these ones are many, Ms. Sisanda Zimande, and Mr. Pasha Gambisa, Mr. Masibulele Sichal. Office of the Auditor General, we have got Ms. Tracy Devet, who is Deputy Business Unit Leader for the Eastern Cape, Mr. Maziti Mokwan, Senior Manager on the Amatole District Municipality Audit. Amatole, it's a whole list, but I see the Mayor, Executive Mayor, Councillor Annelie Ntsangane, Speaker, Councillor Onke Mgungulu, Chief Whip, Councillor Nancy Wulash. MPEC chairperson, councillor Nzabo, Sotonanda, and acting municipal manager, Mr. Monwabisi Soman, mayoral committee member, councillor Kanyile Maneli, mayoral committee member, councillor Kandi Mnaso, mayoral committee member, councillor Nomonde Geza, mayoral committee member, councillor Bukelwa Matikani, mayoral committee member, councillor Teliwe Kenyani, mayoral committee member, councillor Fumanekile Umapi, mayoral committee member, councillor Bandi Keten. I'm doing this especially with the councillors because we always want to indicate that our responsibility as members of parliament and members of the provincial legislature as well as councillors, it's almost the same. We are public representatives. So when we ask each other questions, we are just increasing the volume of the public that should have been able to ask such questions. But like I'm saying, I know it's always better to introduce yourself. So whoever would be allowed an opportunity to speak will allow that. Let me come back to formal apologies. Portfolio Committee Secretary, any formal apologies?
Good morning, Chairperson. Yes, we have an apology from Honourable Faiza. He's having network challenges. There's an apology from the Minister that will be attending Cabinet Committee meetings this morning. Dean Mapela is also apologizing due to the induction of the National House of the traditional and Khoisan leaders in Northwest. There's an apology from DM Karimeng and the DG Williamson. They are attending the Standing Committee on Appropriations meeting this evening. Thank you, Chair. That's all the apologies we received, and we do for a quorum for this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable members, there are usually those apologies that come at the meeting. I just received one from Salga, I'm not sure about the portfolio in Salga, but he's a mayor of Port St. John's. She has apologized. They have a crisis to attend to. Can I allow any other apology? Things like I'll leave early, I'll do that so that you don't disrupt the meeting in the course of it. Any further apologies?
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Officer.
Zolile Williams. Honorable Chair, greetings to you and all the members of the committee. And executive men, councillors, Honourable Chair, as you would note, we are in the period of annual report reviews at the legislature. So our meetings are somewhat overlapping because we are accounting and being oversighted there. But all of us, including the officials of the department, are here. I am not sure if we will be able to leave this meeting for the other because we're also a critical stakeholder here. So we'll depend on your indulgence, Chair, if it's possible. But the Provincial Treasury and the MEC will also be part of this one in the meantime. Thank you, Chair.
I also see a hand of Dalu. It's not complete. Yes.
Apologies, Honourable Chair, I'll try to rename the gadget. It has not happened yet. HOD Treasury, the Honourable Chair, to think to the Honourable Members, Honourable MC, to the Honourable Councillors, and anyone part of the meeting, colleagues. We are in the same predicament with what the Honourable MC Williams is saying. We put a portfolio committee also, which is almost the same time, but we're starting around 9:30. So we will double park in a way, but after we did kind of allocate also official to handle sometimes all those things so that there is continuity into the process. So we apologize for that. We didn't want to just put an apology and say we're not coming through. We know it's a critical part, but we'll also, our conservation will be also be part of the process, but to make sure that it is done efficiently. Also, there's apology from MEC. I think the crisis which is handling community crisis in Port St. John's, so he had to kind of be urgently drive there this morning in order to deal with that particular crisis. So it's just an apology on that, Honourable Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe we better start with the meeting immediately if there's pressure of time, so that we don't delay. I'm sure I'll accept any change of heart and apology later if it happens. I see Honorable Simango.
Much, Chair. Please note my apology, Chair. I would love to be excused in the meeting at 10:30. At the PCO where I'm deploying, there seems to be a challenge that needs my attention, so I will join that meeting at 10:30. Thank you.
Welcome, Honourable Members. I think the best is to start the meeting, and anything that comes up, I will tolerate it in terms of what I might have omitted. As already indicated, the focus is on us being updated about the state of Amatole District Municipality. The order that we will follow implies that the Amatole District Municipality are the beneficiaries of whatever kind of support in terms of whatever that has been identified. So they will be the last ones to speak. And we'll start with the provincial government, provincial government, treasury, as well as COGTA. And after that, it will be followed by AXA, followed by SALCA, and lastly, DECOG. When I say lastly, in that order of support, and then the municipality, who is supposed to be the beneficiary. And as already indicated, you are now I don't know what number of municipalities that we are following. We have decided to partner with the Auditor General because one, it's our primary responsibility to conduct oversight, because we are all the originators of the laws that must be applied. So if AXA, for whatever reason, knows that the laws that are there are not being respected, they feel that there's something extraordinary that we should do. And of course, the department, we oversight the minister. And we also have got, in terms of the laws of the country, a right to ask questions from anybody who should come in. When I say anybody in this context, we engage in the provincial government. We start with COGTA, we engage the provincial government, work with AXA. They've got specific mandate in terms of the constitution, but it facilitates our work. So that is why we are doing this. We are doing it on a number of municipalities.
But our hope all the same is that whenever we engage, we'll follow up on some of the issues that we have noted, we expect change. We expect change so that communities can benefit out of it. So in that context, I was actually preparing for the Eastern Cape Provincial Government to take the floor. Like I'm saying, I don't know how you have arranged your presentation, so we'll be guided by yourselves. Over to you, Honorable MEC.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and greetings again to you and members of the committee. Indeed, Chair, we are working on Amatone, both the COGTA department and provincial treasury, and the HOD finance, which HOD might check, Valens, now we're going to handle this. So I would really allow one of them to quickly put the presentation and we move forward with the presentation in the interest of time. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me start. I think we will do the presentation on our side also from a pleasure point of view. It will be Ms. Skoza will do that kind of a presentation. If you do allow,
can I? Sorry, can I see a hand of Mr. Fani. Can I take that first?
Yeah, good morning, Honorable Chair. Sorry, Honorable Chair, I was just, when we were quiet, I was just going to give space first for us permission for you, for Mr. Maciek, as he's supposed to be presenting some draft line, but he has started. Thank you. Sorry for that.
Okay, no, it's fine. Then, Mr. Maciek, continue.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Ms. Pumeza Skoza, she will do the presentation which we duly prepared and related to the committee. If you do allow one up, sir.
Allowed.
Okay. Thank you to yourself, one up, sir. Ms. Koza, you can come through the allowance of one up, sir.
Thank you very much, HOD. Good morning to the Honourable Chairperson, as well as the Honourable Members, the MECs that are in the meeting. Good morning to the Honourable Councillors, the HODs, as well as my colleagues that are in the session. I'm going to now share my screen and I'm going to present. Is my screen visible to everyone?
Yes, it's visible.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. I am now going to commence with my presentation. If I may introduce myself, I am Pumeza Skoza. I am the district director here at Amatole District. I'm based in Amatole District, so Amatole is one of the municipalities that I am overseeing. So the presentation, Honorable Chair, this is just a brief overview of everything I'm going to present on, which is firstly a brief introduction, the pillars of local government sustainability and governance, key achievements and risks, progress on the implementation of the FRP, the support by provincial treasury, as well as recommendations. Just to give a brief introduction on Amatole, Amatole District is a Category C municipality. It comprises of six local municipalities, which are Mbashe, Mwuma, Great Kai, Amahlathi, Noshua, as well as Raymond Mhlaba. So the provincial executive has instituted an intervention, which is in terms of Section 139(5A) of the Constitution, which entails the mandatory financial recovery plan. This presentation is going to provide an overview on the state of the performance of ABM, their compliance with the MSMA, achievements, key risks, as well as support by provincial treasury. The presentation overall is based on these key pillars of local government sustainability and governance. So the entire presentation is based on these key pillars, which is the institutional, the financial health, as well as the service delivery element. So these pillars of sustainability are crucial for the overall functionality of the municipality. So at a high level, this is what I'm going to be presenting on. Are my slides moving, Chair?
No. The slides are not moving.
All right. Somebody just indicated now that my slides are not moving. Let me stop sharing and reshare.
Yes. It will move now.
All right, is it moving, Chair, now?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is the slide that I was just talking to, which is on the pillars. So this is these are the three elements that are crucial for the governance of the municipality to be functioning optimally. The first part is now talking to the financial health of the municipality. Now, Amatole District Municipality has been adopting unfunded budgets since the 2017-18 financial year. You will see on the slide, it is indicated that from the 2017-18 financial year up until the current financial year, the budget of the municipality has been unfunded and it has remained unfunded for the entire period. The budget, the main reason why the budget is unfunded is as a result of the payables from exchange transactions, and these are growing year on year. And this is also attributable to the cash and cash equivalents, as well as a low collection rate for the water, as well as the sanitation services, which are the only services that Amatole provides. So it provides the water and sanitation services for the entire district. So the six municipalities that I had mentioned earlier, they are all reliant on ABM for water and sanitation. The municipality has a collection rate that is below 30%. MSMA circular number 71 prescribes that a municipality should have a collection rate of approximately 95%. So ADM is currently below 30%, so which indicates that they are collecting less than a third of the minimum that is expected. There's also an issue with the high wage bill, and even though the municipality has been making efforts to try and contain these, however, the high wage bill is an indication of the failure of the human resource elements to try and manage these, and these will not be sustainable in the long run. And currently, they are the biggest cost driver of the operational budget of the municipality. The trading services of water and sanitation are also operating at a deficit. So this means that the municipality is not making any money by providing these services. These are not cost reflective, so that means that the municipality is spending more to provide these services than any revenue that they are collecting from them. The employee-related costs
as well as the remuneration of councillors are at 49.9% in the 2022-23 MTRAS budget. And it is expected that the remuneration of a municipality should be between 25% and 40%. So they're at 49.9%. The municipality has been implementing cost containment measures. However, this has not assisted the municipality in having a funded budget. There are some operational expenses that remain very high, such as security services, office accommodation rentals, as well as the financial system that the municipality is currently using. There's also been a significant decline in the reserves of the municipality, which is indicated in the decrease in its cash and cash equivalents in its annual financial statements. The creditors' balances have also been growing over the years, and this indicates that the municipality is unable to afford to service these debts because they are growing year on year. The total payables from exchange transactions increased from 442 million in the 1920 financial year to 563 million in the 2021 financial year. And we are referring to the 2021 financial year because at the moment the municipality is still in the process of crafting its financial statements. In terms of the legislated deadline, these were supposed to have been submitted on the 31st of August. However, they are still outstanding, and that is why the figures that we have are for those financial years, and there are no figures for the 21-22 financial year. The municipality owes major creditors. The Water Board is currently owed 132 million. The Department of Water and Sanitation is owed 18.4 million, and Tech Mahindra is owed 23.5 million. Now, Tech Mahindra is the implementing agent that is assisting the municipality in implementing its financial system. So they are providing support to the municipality to be able to utilize their financial system. So they are also owed 23.5 million. Debtors collection for the 1920 financial year was 23%, and for the 2021 financial year, it was 25%. You will recall, Honourable Chair, that I have indicated previously that the municipality is supposed to be collecting 95% of what is due to it. The COVID-19 pandemic did have a significant impact on affordability, and ADM ended up writing off 1 billion in outstanding debtors' balances because of that. The municipality also, as a result of the drought, incurred a lot of additional charges because they were providing the water services through the water carting service, and now that is not a service that the municipality can be able to build for because the water carts go to the communities and they provide water, and that is not something that can be built for. Still on the financial health, Honourable Chair, I'm just going to present also on the financial health ratios of the municipality. You will see there that if we look at the very first ratio, it's the one of the impairment of the PPE, as well as the investment property and intangible assets. That one is in line with the norm, which is 0% from 2019 up until the 2021 financial year. The repairs and maintenance as a percentage of the PPE, the norm is supposed to be 8%. For the 2019 financial year, it was at 0%. For the 2020 financial year, it was 2%, and it's decreased to 1% in the 2021 financial year. So this indicates that ADM has not accounted for any impairment. And they are supposed to be accounting for it, and it is supposed to be at 8%. So this poses a risk to them because their assets are not maintained, and this is now going to have an impact as their distribution losses will be higher, and this will have a direct impact on the service delivery. Still on the financial ratios, the collection rate of the municipality, you will see there, Honourable Chair, it does not paint a very good picture at all. Looking there at the collection rate, which is supposed to be at 95%, in 2019 it was negative 208%, in 2020 it was negative 12%, and in 2021 it was 7%. Bad debts written off as a percentage of the provision for bad debts is supposed to be 100%. In 2019, it was 0%. In 2020, 101, and 191% in 2021. The next debtors days, which is the time in which the municipality is expected to pay its debtors, is supposed to be 30 days in line with the legislation. For 2019, it was 1,272 days. In 2020, it improved to 854 days, and in 2021, it improved to 280 days. But this is still significantly above the 30 days that is expected. This is an indication that the municipality is struggling to collect on their debtors. The debtors are outstanding for a very long period. The COVID-19 pandemic also had a very serious impact on the collection, because for a period of 11 months, the municipality was unable to bill. So that would have an impact on its debtors. This also indicates that there's also some data cleansing that needs to be done. Within the revenue system of the municipality. Even though they are improving, they're still very high because debtors need to pay within 30 days. Looking at the cash cost coverage ratio, it is expected that the municipality, excluding the unspent conditional grants, should have cash coverage to be able to pay its operational expenses for a period of 3 months. In 2019, it was 1 month that they had. In 2020, it was still 1 month. And in 2021, this decreased to 0 months. For the current ratio, it is expected that the ratio should be between 1.5 to 2:1. That is an indication of a healthy current ratio. For 2019, it was at 0.7, and it declined in 2020 to 0.64, and further again to 0.42 in 2021. The monthly cash to cost coverage has reduced to zero, and this is an indication of the financial strain that the municipality is currently facing. This is exacerbated by the low collection rate as well as an increase in the contracted services of the municipality. The expenditure management, payment of creditors is supposed to be done within 30 days. We'll see there that in the 2019 financial year, it was 194. 2020, it increased to 254, and there was a slight improvement in 2021 to 212 days. UIF and WE against the total operating expenditure is supposed to be at 0%. In 2019, it was 14. In 2020, it was 6%, and then it was 2% in the 2021 financial year. Remuneration as a percentage of the total OPEX, it is supposed to be between 25% and 40%. In 2019, it was 39 in 2020, and 34% in the 2021 financial year. Contracted services are supposed to be between 2 and 5%. In 2019, it was at 3%, as well as 2020, and it was at 4% for 2021. So this is an indication that the creditors' base has not improved. Looking at the 3 years, since the 2019 financial year, And we, as I've indicated before, we do not have any figures for the 2022 financial year because there is currently no annual financial statements, as these figures are based on the audited financial statements or the pre-audited financial statements of the municipality. This next slide is talking to the debtor's age analysis. This is based on the Section 71 information of the municipality. This information, Honourable Chair, is taken directly from the information that is uploaded by the municipality through its data strings. So all we do is we extract this information. And this is information that they are responsible for uploading. Now, looking overall at the debtor's age analysis, we'll see there, Honourable Chair, that for 0 to 30 days, the debtor is 9.6%. 31 to 60 days, debtors that have been outstanding for 31 to 60 days are at 13.6%. 61 to 90 days outstanding is 8.2%, and the bulk of the debtors are have been outstanding for a period of over 90 days, and these are at 68.6%. The organs of state are currently sitting at 94.3 million that is owed to ADN, and this is 16.8% of the total debt. Now, this indicates that the municipality is struggling to implement its credit control policy if the bulk of the debt has been outstanding for more than 90 days. The creditor's age analysis, which is the money that is owed by the municipality, currently 0.1% is what has been due for a period of 0 to 30 days. For 31, that has been outstanding, pardon me, Chair, for 31 to 60 days is 34.4 million, which is 12.3% of the total creditors. An amount of 12.9 million has been outstanding for a period of 61 to 90 days, 4.6%, and the bulk of the creditors of the municipality have been outstanding for a period of over 90 days. That is an amount of 233 million that is currently owed by the municipality, and that is 83% of their total debt has been outstanding for a period that is greater than 90 days. Now, it is expected that they should be paying their creditors within 30 days, and that is mandated by Section 65 of the NFMA. This is just indicating the cash receipts and the cash payments of the municipality. This is also extracted from their data strings, from their Section 71 information. So they reported an amount of 91.6 million. And this is mainly due to the government grants that have been received. So this is from their conditional grants as well as the equitable share that has been received by the municipality. So currently, the municipality has not accounted for their cash opening balances at the beginning of the financial year. The municipality has built for their revenue for water and sanitation. However, the receipts and cash inflows are understated. So this is what gives the impression of the low collection rate. The municipality has been having challenges with uploading correct information on their Section 71 information due to challenges with the financial system. And then I shall move on to the next part, Honourable Chair, which is talking to the governance of the municipality. This is looking at the audit outcomes of the municipality. In the 16-17 financial year, ADM received a qualified audit opinion. In the 17-18 financial year, they maintained this qualification. This, in the 18-19 financial year, regressed to a disclaimer, and in the 1920 as well as 2021 financial years, they had an adverse audit opinion. And this is a clear indication of governance failures within the municipality, because it has maintained these adverse audit outcomes for the past 5 years. In order for the municipality to achieve a clean audit, it must obtain an unqualified audit opinion with no items identified within the instances of matter. And currently, Chair, we have no idea what audit outcomes the municipality is going to get, because their annual financial statements have yet to be submitted to the Auditor General and to Provincial Treasury. However, they did send correspondence yesterday which indicated that they would be submitting by the 15th of December. But I'm sure the municipality will respond on that when it is their opportunity to respond. This is just listing the issues that led to the adverse opinion, which was PPE, receivables from non-exchange transactions, payables from exchange transactions, operational costs, inventory, statement of comparison of budget versus actual, commitments, the cash flow statements, as well as reportable statements. This is just indicating the ESCO implementation of the municipality. The municipality did have some serious challenges with implementation of ESCOA. However, there have been some improvements that have been noted, because they were actually struggling to even submit their data strings, but now they are able to submit these data strings. The challenge now is with the credibility of the information. And as I said in the previous slide, when I was talking to the previous slide, the municipality, this is having an impact on the credibility of their information, and they are still struggling to implement some of the modules of their current system, which is the SAP system. Also still on MSCOA, Provincial Treasury does engage with the municipalities just to discuss their ICU assessment criteria. This is just indicating overall for the district. You'll see there, Honourable Chair, that this ICU assessment is just looking at different criteria where we will score the municipalities. And a municipality that scores below 30 is one that has to resolve governance and capacity issues. Between 31 and 61, it's a municipality that needs targeted support. And one that is 71 to 100 is one that is doing well with the implementation. You'll see that ADM in July 2022 was at 52, so they are within that range where they need targeted support. And then in October 2022, when we did that assessment once again, they were at 57. So there was a marginal improvement. And if you look at the other municipalities, they are all green, and it is only ADM that is currently orange and not doing well with implementation. With the unauthorized irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, there has been some progress that the municipality has been making. They have been writing off, they have been investigating, and they have been requesting support from Provincial Treasury in order to be able to capacitate their impact. Their irregular expenditure that they disclosed in 1920 was 103 million, and in 2021 they had reduced that to 39 million. In 1920, for their fruitless and wasteful, it was 3.2 million. However, in 2021 it increased to 6.9 million. The unauthorized expenditure was at 85.1 million and it has remained the same. So the only improvement is on the irregular expenditure, because the municipality has made some efforts and they have been taking their irregular expenditure to council for write-off. The next part will be dealing with the institutional arrangements. The position of the municipal manager is currently vacant, and it has been vacant for more than 5 months. The position of the CFO has been filled, but the CFO is currently on suspension. The Director, Strategic Management and Planning, as well as Director, Community Services, they are also currently vacant. So the only positions in the municipality that are currently filled at that executive level is Director Corporate, as well as Director Technical Services. And I'd also like to point out, Honourable Chair, that the positions of the MM have been advertised, as well as for Director Strat and Director Community Services. However, the position of the MM, since it has been vacant for more than 5 months, should the municipality apply for a rollover of conditional grants in the next financial year, if that position is not filled very soon, it will have a negative impact on the outcome of that. The municipality also had labor unrest, which was affecting the operations as a result of the municipal officials wanting salary increases, and these salary increases were provided to the staff, and these were at 6.25%. So there has been some improvement in the stability of operations of the municipality since that was dealt with. However, the work on reducing the employee-related costs, as the Honourable Chair has said in his opening remarks, now there is also the implementation of the Makhanda High Court judgment, which is still outstanding and has not been implemented by AGM. And that is why employee-related costs remain the largest cost driver of the operating budget. In addition to that, the TOIC of the municipality was appointed on the 11th of August 2022, but that was subject to some litigation. And they did not sit for a number of months due to a court judgment, and they only recommenced their meetings on the 7th of October 2022, when the litigation was finalized, and the council meetings were allowed to resume once again. However, this resulted in a non-compliance with the tabling of the IDP and budget process plan, as well as the draft annual report, because these need to be taken to council. And then looking at the service delivery element, over these past couple of years, there have been issues there have been challenges which have been significant in ATM. The municipality has been having challenges with providing services to the communities, and there has been poor spending as well on the conditional grant. This has also been magnified by the drought, which was experienced by the municipality, and they had to provide water carting. However, due to the poor spending on the conditional grant, the municipality ended up having to apply for a rollover. The rollover that the municipality applied for, taking into account all its conditional grants, which are the MIG, the RBIG, as well as the WSIG, which is the Water Services Infrastructure Grant, these amounted to 92 million. This rollover, due to the fact that the municipality has not submitted annual financial statements, was rejected by National Treasury. But subsequently, National Treasury issued correspondence indicating that this amount was in fact the amount that ADM was expected to repay back to the National Revenue Fund is an amount of 158 million. And this is also due to the fact that the annual financial statements were not submitted, and National Treasury utilized the Section 71 information of the municipality using the data strings. But due to the fact that the data strings have a data credibility issue, that is how it ended up being 158 million. So it was sourced from their Section 71 report from their data stream. There have also been poor maintenance of the infrastructure, and this is leading to high water losses as well as water leaks. And this is also escalating the overtime costs, because when there is a water leak or a burst pipe, there needs to be staff that is going to be sent out to go and repair that. The municipality is operating its water and sanitation services at a deficit. As I indicated, Honourable Chair, the municipality is not generating a surplus by providing these services, because the rates that are being charged are not cost reflective, so they are not able to recover the cost of providing that service. This is now slide is reflecting the conditional grant expenditure of the municipality as at the 30th of September, and it was indicating that for the municipal infrastructure grant, which is the biggest grant that is allocated to ADM, it is allocated an amount of 493 million. And their spending at the 30th of September was at 1.7%. This is significantly low, Honourable Chair. And I must also add that the other grants, as you can see, were reflecting expenditure of 0% at 30th of September. Now, the risk that the municipality is facing as a result of this low expenditure is that in terms of the conditions of the grant, it is expected that the municipality should have spent at least 45% of its allocation by 31 December. And if they do not spend 45% by 31 December, which is by the end of next month, the municipality may be subjected to a stopping and reallocation, and that may result in the municipality's allocation being reduced. So that will further make their service delivery challenges worse, because they are now also having that 92 million which they did not spend in the previous year, and there may be an even further reduction of the current year's allocation. So it was expected as well that the municipality is expected to repay that money by the 18th of November, which was Friday next week. Last week, all municipalities that had conditional grants that had not been approved by National Treasury were requested to repay back to the National Revenue Fund by the 18th of November, and the correspondence for ADM had indicated an amount of 168 million. Now, if they do not repay that amount back, that will be offset against their equitable share, which is supposed to be paid to them on the 7th of December. But that as well, Honourable Chair, is also at risk, because in terms of the schedule that was issued at the beginning of the financial year, the municipality is supposed to be getting a payment of 338 million on the 7th of December. However, in MSMA circular number 112, which was outlining the criteria for municipalities that is expected for them to meet, for them to receive their equitable share for 7th of December, the annual financial statement is one of those expectations. So they have not submitted, so there is currently a risk that they may not receive their equitable share on the 7th of December. Now, some of the key achievements for AGM is that the meter readers are providing a monthly report on the faulty meters, and this is now working towards being able to ensure that they're able to continue generating their revenue and being able to reliably read on the water consumption. So they are in the process of appointing a service provider that is going to provide them with 20,000 meters to replace those faulty meters. SCM unit, they have reviewed all their contracts for 2021 to ensure completeness of irregular expenditure. ADM is also has also come up with a reduction plan in order to be able to reduce their unauthorized irregular footage and wasteful expenditure. This performance is reported in their Section 52D report. The internal audit is co-sourced, and as part of their responsibility is to audit the risk registers and also to monitor the progress against that. The 2022-23 adopted budget indicates a surplus of 60 million on the statement of financial or capital performance. However, their budget is still unfunded when we take into account the creditors that are still outstanding. The tariff calculation has been done using the DWS model, and ADM has increased their tariffs by 15% in the 2022-23 financial year. An amount of 23 million, Honourable Chair, was collected by ADM, and this is now representing a 46% collection rate, and this is for the month of May. This connection intention has been communicated by to consumers, so they are trying to implement their credit control policies, and they have also started with disconnections as well as restrictions to households, and they are also taking businesses to taking businesses that are not paying for collection. Standard operating procedures have been reviewed, and there is a revenue enhancement strategy that has been approved and is being implemented for the current financial year. All the conditional grants of the municipality have separate bank accounts, and their grants are maintained at a fund level, and they are also doing monthly reconciliation of these grants. The disciplinary board has been established, and cases have been referred to the board, and the disciplinary board is sitting, and this is in an attempt to try and implement consequence management in the institution. Key risks, Honourable Chair, this is one of the risks that I had already talked to, that the position has been vacant since the 28th of June, and this will have an impact if it is not filled soon, because this is going to be one of the criteria that is looked at in any rollover application of a municipality. So this may put them in a position where their rollover application may not be approved. The municipality, as I have indicated on numerous occasions, has not submitted its pre-audit financial statements, and this has resulted in a rejection of the 92 million rollover application. I just have a few more slides, Chairperson, and I'll try and run through them. The CFO is currently on suspension, and this has resulted in delays in some of the activities at the Budget and Treasury Office, as well as the implementation of the mandatory FRP, which is the Section 139.5A FRP. The process of the implementation of the Makanda High Court judgment, which set aside the illegal grade 7 of the municipality, is also moving at a very slow pace, There currently has been no implementation of that. And that is since August of last year when the judgment was passed. The council approved salary increases above 4.9%. As I said previously, it was 6.25%, and this is above what had been budgeted for by the municipality, and it is above the amount that was stipulated by the bargaining council resolution, and this is going to place further strain on the municipality's finances. The last part of my presentation is just talking to the progress of the implementation of the FRP. As we are all aware, the municipality is currently under Section 139.5A. The finance work stream has been sitting, and the dates there are listed. We are actually supposed to also be having a finance work stream meeting tomorrow. The municipality is making progress on some of these activities. However, the collection rate is still very low. It's still far from the 95% norm. The municipality's trading services are also still trading at a deficit. And the municipality, one of the activities that were critical for the implementation of the FRP to achieve the desired result was the implementation of the Makanda High Court judgment, which has yet to be implemented. And this is now having a negative impact on the implementation of the FRP. The progress overall, some of the high-level activities to be completed. The budget funding plan of the municipality is a work in progress. The municipality is still calculating cost-effective tariffs to identify the cost of rendering the services. The reconciliation of the Eskom accounts has begun, as well as the reconciliation being done on the billing points. It's being done on a regular basis. That is for Amatola Water as well as for Eskom. In terms of the water supply, the tender for the appointment is currently at the procurement stage. The service provider has started, and it's to be concluded by the end of June 2022. So that has already been concluded. The installation of the billing meters in the rural areas has commenced, with 100 billing meters already installed. The risks that have been identified is the process of ensuring that all employees are on the correct grade. Another risk is the decision on the salary increases, which is above the 4.9%. There are also some contingent liabilities as well. Cases that are being dealt with are currently being dealt with by the legal department of ABM. The total contingent liabilities are currently at 186 million. The ABM currently does not have a robust cash management tool. There is some instability at the political as well as the administrative level that has been noted. The labor unrest, which disrupted the provision of basic services as well as the implementation of the financial recovery plan. And the slow spending, which I've already touched on, which is presenting a risk pertaining to service delivery because of the low rate of spending. The non-submission of the 2021 AFS, which resulted in 92 million of conditional grants not being approved, as well as the current instability in the leadership that was also noted. But for the political leadership, since the council meetings are now sitting, that has since stabilized. In terms of the support that is being provided by Provincial Treasury, this slide is just talking to a high level some of the activities that provincial treasury is currently undertaking to support the municipality. We have reviewed and assessed the budget process plan of the municipality after it was tabled and submitted. We've also provided training on the latest budget reforms. We assess and review their draft budget, and we also provide them with feedback prior to the tabling of the final budget. We are also monitoring the implementation of the audit action plan, as well as key internal controls on a monthly as well as a quarterly basis. We did also roll out a workshop on AFS review. We did this in conjunction with the Budget and Treasury Office, as well as the internal audit, and we also provided them with tools to assist them with the review as well. But as I said before, currently there are no apps to review. We also assess and review the municipality's Section 71 report. But challenges with ATN is the fact that the information that is currently on the Section 71 is not credible due to challenges with the data strings of the municipality. So the data is not credible. We also are providing a help desk, and we respond to supply chain management queries, as well as training to the impact, as well as the disciplinary board of the municipality. National Treasury has also deployed MSIP technical advisors, and one of these advisors is currently also supporting ADN. Last week, Monday, we had an introductory meeting with the acting CFO as well as the acting municipal manager, where we introduced the MSIP advisor. So the recommendations, Honourable Chair, is that firstly, the leadership should set a tone of zero tolerance for non-compliance and non-performance. The municipality must also ensure that there is stability at a political and administrative level, because this is going to assist them to ensure that there's a conducive environment for service delivery in the municipality. They should also track resolutions that are made by council, as well as decisions made by management, to assess their impact on the functionality of the municipality. Implementation of a long-term financial plan to improve the funding of the budget of the municipality. Management should also ensure the implementation of the FRP, and the councillors should also monitor the progress on the implementation of the FRP. ADM is also advised to conduct public participation, which will assist in restoring their public image to the communities, and this will also assist them in addressing the issue of the low collection rate as well as service delivery, because when the communities lose confidence in the municipality, then this also will discourage them from paying, because they are not receiving these services. So this will cultivate a culture of non-payment. This is the end of my presentation. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
In any time, if there's anything,
the vacancy, the part of part of our presentation as well. And I think in the presentation we did cover the issue around the implications of the this position being failed. The next issue I think that I think has been covered quite is around issues in the municipality. The implication would concur with that because the nine of the maternal judges still potentially will have in relation to how much capability of the family country is that the Francis decision by council, which has implications in terms of targets, I think that's a matter that I think is that we've reflected. I think we concur with the progress made on the FRP here with the information remedies of challenges and low on the risk. Second thing we have great one. We also have same understanding on the labor that occurred in the first month of the current financial having an implication in relation to the target to college more production. So by and large, issues raised in relation by Ms. Koza are part of what was now numerous meetings. So I'm not sure, Chair, whether we want to call this meeting your presentation as doctor. Or want to confirm exactly what has been presented. Otherwise, the rest of the agenda and the progress made so far is exactly what has come from Concam. Otherwise, the presentation was shared with yourselves. So I think all members of the committee do have the presentation that was created a few days ago. I'll be guided by you, Chair.
No, we I think members did go through that, and I think yes, these presentations they do as the full paragraph of what is so far as quota and provincial treasures. I think we are satisfied. You agreed, then would move the officer did that. Officer of the auditor, the platform is yours.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. The sound is not very good on my side. Can you hear me well?
I can hear you, but I think I'm also having announced. But let's continue.
Thank you. My name is Tessie Nabet. I'm the Deputy President Leader from the Eastern Cape. Good morning to the Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Honourable MEC, Honourable Members of the Council and all other members in the meeting. I'm going to take you through the presentation from the Auditor General. In the interest of time, I will also try not to repeat what has already been said by Treasury because we're also in agreement with the findings that they presented. This slide is talking about our reputation promise as the office. Just to reiterate that we have a constitutional mandate. We exist to strengthen the country's democracy by enabling oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector. We have a vision to be recognized by all our stakeholders as a relevant Supreme Audit institution. And then on the next slide, we're showing you there a picture of what we call the accountability ecosystem, where we are indicating that there are a number of role players who work together with us in this business of building public confidence. And we've just indicated there all the different role players from all the different spheres of government. You get the officials of municipalities and departments, you get senior management overseen by the audit committee, internal audit, has got a role to play. In the municipal space, you have the municipal manager, the council and the mayor, who do their work mainly through the impact, where it concerns the findings of the auditor general. Provincial leadership, the coordinating department in the province, premier's office, the Department of Culture and the provincial treasuries, as well as the national treasury, and then you get parliament and the provincial legislatures to oversight. So this slide is just indicating that we all have a role to play in assisting the government to be able to transparently to have clean governance. The next slide is the presentation of the audit outcomes of the municipality. Over the last 2 years, as you can see, there's no movement. The financial statements have been adverse for the 2 years, 2019-20 and 2021. Also, on predetermined objectives, we had material findings in both years, and there has been material non-compliance with legislation also in both years. The culture of producing quality financial statements has not yet been installed, as the financial statements submitted by the municipality were not at the desired level. There's also a great reliance on a audit process to identify misstatements in these financial statements, instead of strengthening the controls leading up to submitting those financial statements. Reporting of the performance information remains stagnant, where we had findings, material findings to report. Sorry, you need to go back. Thank you. The unreliable performance reporting hampers the ability of the oversight structures to monitor how the municipality is delivering on services, and I'll go into more detail on that in other slides. We can move now. So the municipality did develop an audit action plan to address the findings, but that plan was not adequately monitored by the management in a timely manner, and so this resulted in recurring findings and no movement in the audit opinion. There was inadequate implementation of controls over processing and reconciling in relation to the preparation of the regular, accurate, and complete financial reports, and that is evidenced by the number of misstatements that we identified in the course of our audits. Is an ineffective record management system, and there's a lack of adequate monitoring and review of the information prior to it being submitted for audit. I will go into the material misstatements on the financial statement in detail in the following slide, as well as the quality of the annual performance report and the details of the non-compliance that we identified. So on the next slide, we then talk to the findings that we identified in the internal controls. You can see everything is mostly red, which means the intervention is required, proper record keeping, processing and reconciling controls, regular reporting, compliance monitoring, and you can see that the financial statements, the audit adjustments that were done, had no impact on the audit opinion that was eventually given to the municipality. When we look at the specific matters that gave rise to the adverse audit opinion, under property, plant and equipment, I'll just go to the main issues that we identified. Assets under construction were reported at incorrect amounts with incorrect carrying values. Repairs and maintenance expenditures were capitalized into the total cost of the assets. All of that led to property, plant and equipment being overstated. Then furthermore, the water supply infrastructure, we could not verify the condition and functionality of those assets. So hence we are saying we've got a limitation on the value of property, plant and equipment that is disclosed in the financial statement. Under revenue, government grants and subsidies, that amount was understated because there was an expenditure on a conditional grant that was completed, but that expenditure was not recorded while the conditions to recognize that grant revenue was met, and so therefore the amount shown as government grants and subsidies is understated in the financial statements. The payables from exchange transactions, the municipality did not adequately maintain records of the specific payables for the supply of water services, which is the biggest amount of payables, and therefore we were unable to determine what the correct amount should be. As it pertains to payables. When we go to operational costs, those were recognized either in the incorrect accounting period or at incorrect amounts. So we are saying that operational costs, which is expenditure, as well as payables are then overstated by an amount of 21.6 million rand. Then there's inventory consumed. The municipality does not have sufficient processes to record and recognize the inventory consumed. Transactions were either recorded at incorrect amounts or transactions that meet the recognition criteria were not recorded as inventory consumed. Hence, the inventory consumed as included in the financial statements are understated by 218 million. The specific inventory here is the VIP toilet, that's where we could not determine the correct amount at which they should have been shown as inventory consumed. And then in the statement of comparison of budget versus actual, the municipality used the incorrect amount as the budget amount. They did not use the amount that was actually approved by council. And then under commitments, the amount of commitments was overstated by 21 million rand. The cash flow statement was incorrectly calculated and the amount disclosed in the financial statements are incorrect. The reportable segments were not accurately disclosed. This is due to differences identified between the reportable segments on the consolidated and separate statement of financial position. And we were unable to determine the full extent of the differences to the reportable segments. And then under unauthorized expenditure, we were unable to obtain sufficient appropriate audit evidence to support the amount of unauthorized expenditure disclosed. This is due to the incorrect amount used to determine the amount. Also coming into that was that incorrect budget amount that was used, because unauthorized expenditure is calculated by comparing to what the budget was supposed to be. And then under irregular expenditure, we found irregular expenditure that should have been disclosed that was not disclosed. And we also found irregular expenditure disclosed in the incorrect accounting period or at the incorrect amount. So at the end of the day, we could not determine what the full extent of the adjustment that was required to irregular expenditure was. And then revenue from exchange transactions, there was inadequate system in place for revenue management, which is the revenue from water services. That revenue was billed using incorrect consumption amounts or incorrect rates. Furthermore, adjustments were processed in business accounts, resulting in revenue being recognized in an incorrect accounting period and therefore overstating the revenue. In addition, there were some customers who were not billed at all during the year, and as a result of all those errors, we are estimating that the service charges is overstated by an amount of about 44 million rand. Then we also found repairs and maintenance that was recognized as repairs and maintenance but should actually have been capitalized to property, plant and equipment. So those are all the line items that we found to be incorrect on the financial statements. Moving along to the performance information, the objective that we tested was the basic services provision, and we had material findings there. The specific key performance measures that had material findings was the number of households connected to a basic level of water supply, which is the main key performance area for the municipality, and we could not verify the numbers as reported in the annual performance report. So the inability of the municipality to retain records and data would impact negatively on decision making. So as you can see, these are links. We couldn't verify the number of households connected. We couldn't verify the amount of revenue billed. We also couldn't verify the valuation of the infrastructure that underpins the supply of water, which also goes with all the findings that were noted by Treasury earlier. Under non-compliance of legislation, again, there were a number of material findings as it pertains to non-compliance of legislation. Municipality did not implement an effective action plan to address those significant internal control deficiencies. So the department still had significant procurement and contract management findings. Also, that non-compliance about the quality of financial statements, as has been evidenced by what I've just described to you. The municipality does not prevent irregular, unauthorized, nor fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and the municipality does not implement the necessary consequence management processes to effectively deal with irregular, unauthorized, as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And we're saying that a culture of accountability together with timely and effective consequence management was not enforced. I won't dwell on the slide for irregular expenditure because Treasury went into quite a bit of detail on those amounts, and we concur with what they have stated. So then I just want to give the committee a background, which is the current status. Also, I'm going to repeat what Treasury said. Position of the municipal manager is currently vacant. There is an acting municipal manager that comes to deploy from the 1st of November, and the CFO is currently under suspension. So with the result, financial statements have not been submitted, and we are expecting them to be submitted on the 15th of December as committed by the municipality, at which stage we will then commence with auditing those financial statements, and we will obviously report late on those financial statements since we're going to see them in December. And then just another bit of background, that the municipality's entity is also instability that has recently come about. The parent municipality recalled the board, and an interim board was appointed. The position of the CFO has been CEO, forgive me, has been contested in court. There are currently two people, there's an acting CEO and there's the one who was appointed previously. And there is also no CFO at the moment. And these are also impacting our audit of the entity belonging to Amatola District Municipality. And that brings me to the end of my presentation. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm sure honorable members are taking notes. Without wasting time, let's now allow Salga to make their presentation. Salga? Is Salga available?
Good day, Chair. I'm trying to share my...
Okay. No, it's fine. Share it.
Check. Can you turn my presentation?
Yes, we can see it.
Okay, so much, Chair. Greetings to you, Chair, and the members of the committee. Allow me, Chair, to say all protocol observed. Chair, what we have done, we have summarized the presentation, taking cue to what was instructed to all present. Yes, my presentation the stance of municipality to support program as well as the support by AXA as well as the three aspects, what it tends to wish the same presentation in the interim statement and financial statement. And the reliable incredible performance information with the process of reporting. Not treated in the team in the last part of our support chapter depict as follows. One is about the induction of counselors. We confirm chapter that the capacitation on political leadership in the district on local government in general and the legislative and unquestioned obligation for public office. The last was done when the new leadership was elected. Am I the only one who can hear Chairperson?
No, you're not. I mean, we can't even hear a word ourselves. I can't hear things.
That was not coming here.
Oh, I thought it's me who was not hearing. Oh, can we allow him to continue? Are you still around?
A person that looks like not on the platform anymore. Thank you.
Or is not on the platform anymore. No. Then I think let's move to at least we have heard a sense of what they were they are doing. The Salga. Can we now allow DCOG, the DDG Zimwa?
Thank you very much. Honorable Chair, greetings to the honorable members of the committee. Greetings to Honorable MEC Williams. I see he requested to be excused. Greetings to the honorable executive mayor and the leadership of Matole District Municipality. And greetings to my colleagues, the accounting officers on the platform, and the rest of my colleagues, as well as the colleagues from AG and Sauga. With your permission, Chair, may I request to switch off my video and request the Secretariat to flight our presentation. Most of the content of our presentation was covered, Chair. Madam Sherin, may I request you to just share the DCOG presentation. We won't dwell much on what has already been covered. The first part of the presentation, it will be mainly relating to the progress of what has already been covered. You can share it on slide mode and we can quickly go to the next next slide. We won't dwell much on the first part until we get to the service delivery. The next, this is just the presentation outline, which in the main has been covered. We can go to the next one. this part has already been covered, Chair, but we also want to highlight what has been reported by Treasury, that indeed there were some challenges with the political side, but there is now good progress, as has been highlighted, and that good progress for us, Chair, you will see when we get to our service delivery. I'd like to take you in the main. It's an area we are grateful for. It's now the financial side that we believe should need to be attended to. On the governance, already the matters has been highlighted by Treasury. We want it very much on it.
Services sector,
and it's due for review. Our proposed solution, Chair, it ties in with the next slide that the task team which is there, our belief is that as much as the council resolved that task team for now assists with accelerating grant funding, we are urging the municipality to allow that task team to also support them with water services. Here is just what has been highlighted earlier. On the third bullet, Chair, this was rounded off that 0% on the system. However, the Treasury indicated that they had spent 1.7, which is included in that expenditure of October, when it was recorded on our system that we monitor the municipal the information system. And here, Chair, we are just highlighting that following that council resolution where council resolved to source the services of MISA and COCTA to support it to accelerate grant expenditure, a task team is now in place. It's being led by Eastern Cape COCTA, and they are preparing a turnaround strategy to assist that grant expenditure. But we would like to raise the municipality to let that support that task team to also look at the water services. We can go to the next slide. Here we are just reminding the committee, the MISA approach, that as MISA, besides providing professionals, these engineers and town planners, we also train municipal officials, and we also employ youth to be deployed to municipalities as apprentices. And also we assess and train municipal officials through recognition of prior learning so that they can get qualification. And in the Eastern Cape province, we have the team at the bottom there supporting the whole province. And on the next slide, we are showing the executive team, which is, you can go to the next slide, the executive team, which after this one, the executive team, which is allocated to Amatole District Municipality, we have dedicated two professional engineers and a town planner. I see the secretariat doesn't want to skip the previous one. The previous slide was just talking about those capacity building programs that I was mentioning. On this slide, the dedicated support chair is we have two professional registered engineers and a town planner that we dedicated to the district. But however, the challenge the support had was that because of the challenges the municipality had of suspensions and the governance challenges, this support could not provide effective technical support. And as a result, it's only now after the council resolution that they are now making some strides. And those are the challenges, Chair, that in terms of Section 154 of the Constitution, that the support we provide if the recipients are not readily available to take that support, if the municipality is not in good state, that support cannot bear any force. And we are just also highlighting that in terms of the MIG framework, MISA has been given function to support municipalities throughout the project life cycle. At the moment, we are busy assisting with the project registration because that MIG allocation of 500 million and also for the outer years, we need to ensure that we have projects that are committed. So we are assisting with that project pipeline and also assisting the supply chain with specifications. Of course, we don't sit in the bid committees, but we provide them with specifications that they advertise so that they get the properly qualified service providers, because at that point, it's very important. Those are some of the areas that result in irregular expenditure. If you don't appoint proper CIDB grading contractors, if you don't follow due process, and also verification of work on site and assisting with the coordinating forums. We can go to the next slide. The next slide, Chair, is just specific areas, town planning, ex-car and civil, but as indicated during Treasury's presentation, there are some key achievements that were presented for us, Chair. The town planning section for us is doing very well for Amatole. Of course, there are two directors who have left, but also they left showing an upward movement, which is good. But still, we believe that town planning section is functional and it works very well. And our professional town planner is supporting that unit. And the next slide is on the electrical work. The ADM is not providing this function. However, ourselves, we provide support to the municipalities and also through our MIGA resources. We don't have much at MISA. However, we are implementing an energy master plan for renewable energy resources so that the district can take advantage of energy for the future in line with the amendment of the Electricity Act, so that they can then start implementing alternative energy. The last slide, the last three slides are just going to show Chair the project that we have implemented as our contribution to the eradication of backlogs, and also the last one, it was just that master plan. Thank you very much, Chair. This is the report for DECO.
Thank you very much. We will now allow the municipality, when I indicated mayor and I decided to read the mayoral committee members, I just wanted to indicate our appreciation for the turnout, and I think they have been taking notes as well. Can I hand over to you, Executive Mayor?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, let me first greet you, Honorable Chairperson.
Yes, Chairperson. Can we see the mayor, please, just for 2 seconds?
Yes, for records, Honorable Mayor, so that we don't pass you in the street when we see you. Can you show your face?
Is it not shown now?
No.
Well, it can't show. Whilst you are working on it, I think let's continue with the presentation.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me first greet the committee, the fellow committee as a whole, and greet the Honorable MEC in the province, and greet Treasury and all members here present, Auditor General. Honorable Chair, let me state that we only received the invite to this portfolio committee yesterday. The reason being is that it was erroneously sent to the MM, the former MM, Mr. Mnyimba. And on our inquiry yesterday, we find out that it was sent there on the 8th, but we only received it yesterday. So we nearly missed we nearly missed this portfolio committee meeting. But we're fortunate that ultimately we got it. Honorable Chairperson, we're given a certain topics or subtopics to look into. The first one being ADM establishment and functionality of all committees of council, investigations by MPEC, and implementation of its recommendations by council. The third one, revenue collection. And the fourth one, debt owed to and by the municipality. And then the fifth one, unauthorized, irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure by the municipality and consequence managing. And then the sixth is local economic development initiatives. And the last one is challenges faced by the municipality that impacts on the service delivery. So I hope that because we submitted the report, maybe the slides are shown. If not, Honorable Chairperson, can I get an indication whether the slide is on?
No, they are not. It's just blank.
Oh, but the report was sent.
Somebody from the portfolio committee should be. Portfolio committee secretary, can you assist? Yes, you can see it now.
Thank you very much. That's it. Honorable Chairperson, we have received and we have tried our utmost best to respond to the questions. The first one relates to committees of council. Let me first correct there is an error there. We are saying August, but August is when we're installed as the new leadership. But actually, the council was inaugurated in November 2021. So there's a mix-up of a date with our own installation or swearing in, whereas inauguration took place on November 2021. And I wish to correct that for the record. The committees, Section 79 and Section 780 committees, are in existence. However, due to the industrial action, their functionality was a bit disturbed. But since the industrial action has been resolved, now the committees are again functional. Hence, in the last council meeting, there was a report from the mayor and committee members. So that is it with regards to the functionality. All committees are now functional, both Section 79 and Section 80 committees. With regards to investigations by MPEC, Honorable Chair, the investigation was instituted and it would appear that the previous council took or adopted a strategy or an attitude that says some of these were irrecoverable. And irrecoverability means that they cannot be recovered. However, our view is that there should be a consequence management for each and every transgression. Hence, the previous council meeting took a conscious decision to suspend the chief financial officer of the municipality. The basis for suspension is a non-submission of financial statements to the Auditor General, non-submission of Section 31 and Section 32 reports, as well as the failure to improve revenue collection are among other reasons why the CFO was suspended. And I've heard that the Auditor General and Provincial Treasury are saying to some extent this has got negative impact. But in order to find an everlasting solution, we had to suspend the CFO as the previous council, so as to get to the bottom of the problem as to why we couldn't comply with the legislation as prescribed. And Honorable Chair, on the revenue collection, as I would agree with the Treasury that was sitting at 25% to 30%, which is far below the norm of 95%. Ever since the workers have resumed duties, there's been a significant improvement to this. And I can safely say, going forward, we'll ensure that more and more is done to improve and to get to a better percentage, as the workers are now committed to do their work. In as much as on the slides, you won't see the issue of percentage, because it was alluded to, the issue of percentage that was given to workers. I'm of the view that I need to reflect on it. And reflecting on it means that there's been a mention that it is 6.2% that the workers were paid with effect from August this year. And against the 4.9% that was actually due. And I want to place this into perspective that if you can count the three consecutive years in which we didn't effect an increment for workers, the 3.5%, 4.9% and 6.2% respectively, they go up to about 13%. And then there is 2.5% pay progression, which is about 17%. In the true sense of the word, we owed the workers 17% in salary increase. And the workers agreed to forfeit 2.5% of pay progression, and in order to address Makanda judgment. And in addition, the workers accepted 6.25%, which will result in us still owing the workers 11%, but minus 2.5% progression, then will owe the workers around 8% in terms of salary increase. So we didn't act outside the collective bargaining agreement when the 6.25% was effected. So I just wanted to clarify that as I am talking about the industrial action there is some relative stability in the municipality politically, but we also need to ensure that there is administrative stability. And there is relative administrative stability too, because the workers now are working normally. But safe to say, we still have a problem of the position of MM that is not yet filled. Now, we move to the slide that talks about now the debt that we owe the debt that is owed to the municipality by government departments and by residents. Local municipalities owe about 67 million, government 29 million, and households 444 million, business 26 million, other 54, and then the total is 647 million that is owed. But the challenge, as you would understand, between this report that we are making and the report that is made by Treasury, there is incongruence in numbers. But perhaps you would see that there is a slight difference in what we are presenting compared to their own figures. The reason being this, that of course there's been development since their report. Hence, we would see that there is no congruence between their figures and our figures. And on the 29.9 million owed to owed by government department, we have a breakdown, but we've decided not to do that breakdown today and shame each of these departments. But if the committee wants that, we can do it. Yes. I can't hear.
Hello, what protest? Have I featured?
Chair, please mute.
Am I correct? Can I proceed?
Proceed.
All right. Then I was at the point where I was talking about the government owing the municipality, the government department, and I was saying we have given an overall figure. But if the committee wants us to divulge each and every department, so that you can hear and see which department is the culprit, I can do that depending on the feeling of the committee. But we've just decided to give an overall figure for government. And can I proceed?
Proceed.
Thank you, Chair. And I'm on unauthorized expenditure. The unauthorized expenditure 2019 has been 13 million, and then 2022. You would see that nil expenditure there. That nil expenditure doesn't necessarily mean that we are good as a municipality, but it means there is no work that has yet been done there to determine how much is the unauthorized expenditure. So it doesn't, it shouldn't create an impression that the municipality has done well, but it should be understood that the municipality is not having the real figure, because it hasn't yet been determined how much of the unauthorized expenditure. And of course, of the irregular expenditure, you can see that as even the Treasury has indicated that there is some improvement, but still here we cannot say it's a good picture, but it's just a little improvement that we have managed to do. Can we continue to another slide? And on this one, it's local economic development initiatives. With, I wouldn't like to bore this committee by listing all those projects that are there. Let's go to challenges facing the municipality. The challenges that we face as a municipality, on the list of challenges, I have indicated that political leadership change and stability. It's no longer a challenge now, because there's been a change of leadership and there is some stability. The reason why I can safely say there is political stability is because in the last two council meetings that we set after the court allowed us to sit. There's been an improvement in decision making by council. We took decisions. One of the decisions that we took was to suspend the CFO, and we unanimously agreed as councils that CFO should be suspended. And in addition to that, we agreed also to take one of our projects, in fact most of our projects, to be looked into and to be saved, babysitted, so to speak, by MISA as an institution, so that MISA can assist us in accelerating the pace of expenditure. So that is also a decision that was taken by this council. So to me, it shows some stability. And administratively, we are also a bit stable because workers have returned to work, and the local labor forum is busy engaging workers on the implementation of the Makanda judgment. And the real challenge that the municipality face as of now is high employee costs in respect of the Makanda judgment, which states that a certain employees owes municipality. Then there was a committee that was contracted, that was contracted, the contractor was appointed to deal with this matter of in fact, a service provider was contracted to deal with this matter of Makanda judgment. And they have made calculations and as to who owe what in respect of workers. As of now, they haven't yet tabled the report to council. They are yet to table the report to council and state in our employees who owes what, and then we will then refer that to the local labor forum so as to find amicable solution in terms of deduction of the monies that are owed by workers due to Makanda judgment and wrong grading, so to speak. And the council also took a decision to return to the right grading, and we're of the view that even the increase that will be effected will be based on the new grading, the right grading. And I also would like to state that the wrong grading is only the grading of workforce, that is the administrative side. It's not on the part of councillors. Councillors are paid on the right grading, that is 5, which is a grade which is determined by the population and the income of the municipality. So councillors were never paid on a wrong grading. It's only the workers that were paid on a wrong grading. And so there was also non-sitting of supply chain management and bid committees. But because we took a decision after we were sworn in that we need to meet the workers, and one of the decisions that we took was that we supposed to call those who were suspended to come to work based on the merits of their cases. Because the problem that we faced was that if we allow them to stay at home, we're paying two salaries for one position. So that assisted us a great deal in terms of resuscitating the functioning of supply chain management committees. And now all those individuals are back to work, and the supply chain management committees are sitting as normal, and the municipality is saving money from paying two people for the same job. Another thing that we said should be done away with is the issue of secondment, because they are also draining the municipality. So those are the things that we agreed to implement. And there's been delayed in ensuring that as a municipality we we accelerate the pace of spending. But I can safely say this change will assist us a great deal. Can you go to the last slide? Thank you very much, Jefferson. But I still can't show my face. That is problematic. I would like somebody to assist me to show my face there.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Mayor. The rest of the presenters, yes, you can see the face now.
Yes.
So I'll pass you on to the way. Honorable members, that concludes the long presentations, and I hope it was for the first time that I'll be found talking whilst I'm conducting a meeting. I think it was long but necessary. I will take your hands now because we have been taking copious notes and almost similar arrangement, but trying to give us a full picture of the state of the municipality of Amatol. So I see two hands, Honorable Space and Honorable Babanjawa. Can I take you in that order? Honorable Space.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues, and thank you to all the presenters. Chairperson, I have two questions. The one first question, Chairperson, is with regards to the a very high wage bill, which is currently at 49.9%. I need to have an understanding of what is the how many staff, you know, how many employees are employed in this municipality, the total number of employees. I also need to understand what is it that the municipality is going to do, what measures are going to be put in place to bring down or decrease this high wage bill, Chairperson. My next question, Chair, was in a way answered by the Mayor, because I wanted to understand what were the reasons for the suspension of the Chief Financial Officer. But I want to, in addition, ask, how far is that process, the disciplinary process, because we do find in many instances that these processes drag on. And if that can be dealt with speedily, you know, that would be appreciated and not be a long in the disciplinary process where an official is at home, suspended, receiving a salary, and the matter is not concluded. Although I have seen that the council is now meeting, Chair, it is still worrisome that the council has not met for months, and I understand it was because of a pending court, action. I also want to understand, in the time that the council did not meet, what were the councillors doing or busy with? And I also need to understand, when the mayor said there was a change in political leadership, what does that contain? What does that entail, that change in political leadership? Chairperson, I'm going to stop there. There's not much I can say about the unspent conditional grants. And also the repairs and maintenance obviously is of huge concern. But for now, Chairperson, those are the questions that I would like to have answered. Thank you very much.
Honorable, I've seen the other hands. Let's follow that. Honorable Pavanchaba, I'll recognize the other hands.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greeting to the colleagues, a new chair, and the presenters. Chairperson, my question will be on the municipality. Will the salary end by the former municipality manager, Dr. Munyimba, since his appointment in 2017, being declared fruitless expenditure, wasteful expenditure. Chairperson, following the finding that he did not have the requisite qualification for the position, now, Chair, who will be held liable for the fruitless and wasteful expenditure? Another, Chair, the department's presentation to the Portfolio Committee on the 3 March 2021 stated that the same MM met all the qualifications and the compliance and competency, sorry, Chair, and competency level required for the position. Now, Chairperson, how does the department explain about this now? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Bavanchava, I see Honorable Beza has disappeared. Are you still there?
Chairperson?
Yes, Kova.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can see the name.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. Chairperson, in terms of these presentations, let's appreciate the presentations. My first question will relate then to the province. The amount of support in terms of Section 154 of the Constitution, in terms of strengthening that municipality, because chief amongst that are a problem in that municipality of water, the water service authority, that district. Since 2016, people have been complaining that there is no water there. I hear that there is some stability politically now. By what date and what time frame are these deliverables going to be achieved by the district? That's my point of interest, Chair. Ideally, a sound municipality will not have issues relating to non-compliance with regards to procurement and contracts and issues of IUFW, unless, of course, it's infested with corrupt individuals. What is the consequence management in terms of non-compliance with the irregular, wasteful, fruitless, and unauthorized expenditure? Does the municipality have a Section 106 investigation? How far is that investigation? How many people have been held liable, Jeff? Those are my interests. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Ikeledi Direko.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also acknowledge the presentations that have been made and treat the members and the councillors and administration who are part. And I do understand that there's a new leadership in this municipality, and some of the things we can't blame them. However, my concern is with the support that is supposed to be provided by provincial and national government. Because when you look at this presentation that has been made now, it is quite similar to the one that we had in 2021. The issue of bloated organograms and incorrect grading were among the concerns that were raised by members when Amatola was appearing before the committee. And there were recommendations which were made to address this matter. Today we are here, we are still discussing these two matters. Can we please get a time frame as to how long is it going to take for all the stakeholders that are here to address the issue of that bloated organogram and the issue of the incorrect grading. So that when you call us again to our committee meeting, at least we can be able to say, this was the time frame, this is how far you are, and if there were challenges, what were those challenges, how did you deal with those challenges? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Gihadeva.
Thank you, Chair. Let me just follow suit from what Honorable Dikilin Direko has raised, Chair. Just to put things into proper context, Chair, to agree that this is not the first time we are engaging with this district municipality. And there were similar challenges highlighted then, Chair. Just to give you, my battery is low, Chair, and I'm affected by low shedding. Just to give you the background is that when they appeared before us, I think more than three occasions, we were told that in 2017, which is 5 years later, there was a diagnostic analysis conducted. And that report made mention of the following issues. The organogram that is not affordable, that it is highly inflated, and it includes functions that are not strategic to the operation of the municipality. It also highlighted issues of high cost of producing water and sanitation, weak revenue collection, water losses, high expenditure on personnel. So all these issues were highlighted and were known to the municipality 5 years ago, understanding, Chair, that nature allows no vacuum. We understand that some of the officials might be new, but these are the issues that are dating back to 2014, the issue of categorization, standardization of salaries. Again, the first presentation also highlights what has been highlighted long time ago, the issue of acquisition of SWAP. At the time, we were told that it amounted to 75 million and it was escalating to 111 million. That was 2 years ago. The issue, which is one of the cost drivers, the headquarters, at the time, I will tell you the figures now, Chair. Also, the essential car user scheme, all those that were issues that were highlighted as the key cost driver. But when listening to today at the presentation, you are still getting the same issues and challenges that the SAP system and challenges in implement SAP score, there's issues with credibility on the information. It says the goal is to maximize the use of SAP system to eliminate the cost of paying maintenance and license fees to more than one system. And when you look into the presentation, there was the company that was mentioned being owned by the municipality. I'll tell you now, the Mahindra. Mahindra is being owed 23.5 million. And when I listened to the presenter, she made mention that this Mahindra is assisting with financial systems. But I bought.
Honorable Mumza, who is disturbing. Continue, Honorable Hadar.
Yeah, now I'd like to get an understanding of value for money and return on investment of this Mahindra company when the municipality is struggling implementing proper and credible issues as it relates to a financial system. What is the value for money? And this 23.5 million owed to Mahindra,
is it how much was has it spent to date versus what is the return on investment. The presentation chair did not touch on the turnaround strategy or the smart city plan for the municipality that we were previously told, and at the time we had asked questions because that plan, the turnaround plan, I think it was from 2018 to 2023, and there were a lot of milestone projections and key achievement, whether or not they have been able to achieve what was proposed then on the turnaround strategy. And their smart city and vision 20, smart district vision 2058, they'll correct me if I'm wrong, we have not had anything. The presentation seeks to suggest here that we are meeting with these municipalities for the first time, yet there has been numerous meetings and numerous undertakings and issues that were meant to be addressed. And thus far, it does not seem as if they have been able to successfully address bulk or majority of the issues that have been previously presented to us. And I'm interested in knowing what are the delays and challenges in implementing the Makhanda High Court judgment. We are just told that the municipality has not yet implemented the Makhanda judgment. Can we be given a clarity in relation to such? I am concerned if till to date we're still having issues with MSCOA and self-system, and what is the current cost? Is the municipality still renting those headquarters, which we were told then that are costing exorbitant amount of money to the municipality chair? If we can also be given a report and understanding on that aspect. Is the municipality still experiencing challenges when it comes to water losses? We also need clarity and understanding in that regard, Chair. They also had a challenge then with the indigent register. Has those matters been addressed, and it's the thing of the past? Have they dealt with the issue which was also in contributing to the high cost in terms of cell phone allowance, car allowance, and coming? Have those issues been addressed and dealt with, Chair? Yes, this 5-year financial recovery plan, if we can just get milestone projections, are they looking positive in terms of achieving all the key priorities that they set themselves to achieve? It is going to be a very great thing to do, Chair, to get to understand who are these departments that are owing the municipality money, because these are institutions, the departments and business owners, these are the institutions, Chair, that have an ability to pay, but they chose not to pay. We need to name and shame and understand how many of them have been disconnected in terms of non-payment, and what has been the results in terms of ensuring that they receive money for services rendered to these government departments and these businesses. Because if you don't name and shame, Chair, they will continue to undermine the district. As a result, the district will be unable to fulfill its a mandate. Chair, the figures that I spoke to earlier on, just to give a sense of what we're talking about, at the time we were told that the headquarters and the satellite was costing the municipality 37 million per annum.
want to know what is the situation now. And the fleet was to the tune of 2 million per month. At the time, Amatole Water Board was owed 173 million. We were told that the SAP system and maintenance and abatement, it was costing 2 million per month. And at the time, as I've indicated, that SAP was to the tune of 75 million, but it escalated to 111 million. And at the time, there was an outstanding amount of 42 million. And the employee-related cost then costed 60 million per month, which was the result of the bloated organogram. So we want to know the situation currently and whether or not these financial recovery plans are yielding the positive result, Chair. So those are the few issues, Chair, of the previous engagements with the municipality and some of the questions that I would like to get clarity on based on the current presentation, Chair. I would really want to get an understanding the security services. What is it that it entails in terms of monetary value, which is also being highlighted as one of the key cost drivers, Chair? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Mbumza.
Thanks, Chair President. Good morning to you, Honorable Members, the MEC, the Special DS present in the meeting.
Chair, thanks for the presentation that has been made. But Chair, in the presentation, on slide number 9 by the provincial treasury, the department is indicating that the employee-related cost and remuneration of councillors amounted to 49.9% of the municipality's 2022-23 budget. And this was indicating the largest cost driver of its operational expenditure. But on slide 14, the same department is saying that the municipality's salary is at 34% of the total operating budget. Which of the two statements is actually correct, Chair? Chair, the to the provincial quota, will the salary earned by the former municipal manager, Dr. Mnyimba, since his appointment in 2017, be declared fruitless and a wasteful expenditure? And will it be followed so that he did not have, because it's indicated that he did not have the requisite qualifications for the position? Then who will be held then for the fruitless and wasteful expenditure incurred on his salary? Chair, I'm aware that the mayor, the speaker, and the chief whip have just assumed the leadership position in the municipality by August 2022.
Perhaps we must comment the MEC, whether present or former, for a decisive decision to actually raid a riot act for leaders who are defiant
and who are not actually providing the necessary leadership at that level. And we must hope that should this same leadership again go back to that particular situation, the province would not hesitate for that too long to intervene and rest the situation, because we are reported by the presenter here, and there have been indication in other reports that the dominant factor that had led to this municipality, to this particular precarious situation, was the fact that there was there has been a political instability, both at the first at the political level. Because once you achieve stability at the political level in the municipality, you are sure that there would be sound governance and there would be service delivered. And now it's also indicated here that the instability at the level of the administration. And the presenter was indicating to us that the municipality is supposed to lose an over 90 million rollover because of the fact that there is no permanent accounting officer. And can we be told what are the circumstances that had led to the suspension of the chief financial officer? And what are the mitigating factors so that this municipality may not lose that over 90 million rand rollover? What would be the mitigating measures to ensure that those positions are actually occupied and the municipality would not lose that money? Secondly, Chair, we are reported that the financial health as well as the financial position of the municipality by the provincial treasurer is indicating that still the financial position is precarious. And the mandatory financial recovery plan has been in place over a two-year period now. Can we be appraised whether this mandatory financial recovery plan is actually reaching traction at the level of the municipality so that we could see positive outcomes? And again, Chair, we are presented here with a report that indicates that Amatore District has not yet achieved universal access to water and sanitation, a very, very critical basic service that would ensure life as well as the restoration of dignity as a human rights issue to the citizens of Amatore. Can the mayor tell this committee as to what are the target timeframes as set out in the IDP that would ensure the achievement of universal access?
Thank you very much, Honorable Mbumza. I assume that all the hands that are there now are historical hands. We will now allow responses from all, maybe in the order in which these were presented. Obviously, there will be fewer issues raised for those who are supporting, and in the end, the municipality will be the last one to respond. Can we allow the province?
Okay, Honorable Chair, I'm trying to raise my hand, but unfortunately I can't see the comments.
I can hear you, it's fine.
Okay, perfect, thank you very much, okay. Now, I want to deal with the issue that pertains to the province in terms of its responsibilities to support the municipality as discussed by members in the committee here. I'm happy to say that there has been a great deal of work being done by the department, the provincial level to support the municipality. Now, the question is around Section 15 for support, and I want to focus on the service delivery issue that has been raised as well. Now, as part of our concern in dealing with the non-expenditure, poor expenditure municipality, we have resuscitated what is referred to as the district-wide infrastructure forum, whose sole mandate in the district is to begin to look at the expenditure pattern of the project. But more importantly, to begin to unlock bottlenecks in relation to where we have. And this is a forum where all the critical technical service providers come together, and sorry, the officials come together. And we then come and discuss the status of the project across. And what we did then when we had a meeting with the municipality, we realized that after the suspensions that were reported here by the executive and the return of the officials, that there was a serious lack of technical expertise in the municipality begin to help them unblocking a lot of problems. So we then agreed that we'll second two engineers that we sourced from NBI as part of our partnership with TBSA. To go and assess the municipality, begin to look at every project that is directly jammed, and to see how best to begin to make those better. But in addition to that, there have been also numerous requests from the municipality on the trucks that we provide in the event where there were drought areas or areas experiencing drought, and where we discuss some challenges, some trucks to go and assist them. Makati has been one of the beneficiaries. And Reverend Carr is one of the beneficiaries as well, to assist them in that regard. But also I have to support them with regard to the review of the organization. One of the issues that has been raised in the FRP is that the elephant in the room in the municipality is the process of organogram. And we picked up that the organogram that the municipality has was first approved in 2014, and then there were a few amendments effected in 2021. And we then realized that it was actually non-compliant with the recently passed staff regulations that were signed into law last year. And then we had to ensure that the support that we provide does become compatible with the staff regulations. And the so far, there were sessions that were convened. One was on the 8th of November this year. Just take the officials through the staff regulations so they understand the do's and don'ts and the process in terms of compiling the organization, which is supposed to be much more smarter and much more lean and much more focused on civil delivery than having bloated support employees instead of having the core business being prioritized. But also it provides support with the LLF capacitation. We realized that there was a great deal of work to be done to support the LLF to understand the Makada dashboard application and to understand the need for them to have the HR plan. So those sessions were held.
Honorable Ngumza, some of all, Kuba.
Those sessions were convened on the 14th of October and the 16th of September, just to focus on the group of the Okanogra, but more importantly, to look at the incorrect grading that was actually discussed earlier on. Our concern, obviously, is that there has been great level of delay in the appreciation by the council on the Makada adjustment implementation. Our meeting early this year, we advised that there was a target date set for the end of September for the finalization of the costing of the cost of the Makada adjustment. And at that stage, the management then led by suspended MM did advise us that the service provider was ready to deliver the report by end of September. And unfortunately, that did not occur. And I think that we're actually very panicking about the absence of the report, because it was that report that was going to go to the LLF and determine the overall cost to be discussed by the LLF and how far to go to begin to reverse the challenges that were there. So the question that has been raised here, Honorable Chair, about why then this time around there was the MM found not to be compliant in terms of regulations appointment. I must just say that with a lot of vetting process this time around, in 2016, the appointment of the MM, if that actually was not vetted, this time around when we did our vetting, we realized that the MM did not have a reliable, authentic metric certificate, that his qualification did not meet the regulated minimum requirements, that the ATM had used an unaccredited service provider for computer assessment. There was also an anomaly in the report because it was signed by the MM himself in the council resolution, and that the MM misrepresented some facts in his CVs in terms of his membership of the Institute of Financial Officers. Now, this was not done in 2016, and had the vetting process been done in 2016, I still maintain that what we found in the recent vetting possibly would have been confirmed. So I think there was a bit of error on the part of the municipality in 2016 for them not to have done thorough scrutiny on the suitability of the person and the applications and the competencies that the person should have obtained or should have had at that time. So I think the council actually, which was in place at that time, did not do due diligence in relation to confirming that which was supposed to be done. Then the last thing that we had to support the municipality on various work streams that have been established. One of the things that we had great on was the need for the municipality to develop an HR plan, because we realized that there was no credible HR planning for the organization, and that is now part of the project that is actually underway, arising from the regulations themselves. Then we also had to support the municipality on the free basic services forum. We discovered that there was a bit of credibility crisis with regard to the data captured in the register was only indigent, and the integration between the register for the district and the register for the LM. And that forum, which was then created, had to assist the municipality in Africa. So we brought down ourselves down to assist them in the industrialization as well. The last thing we did, which was done on the 22nd of August this year, was to assess the extent to which the IGP is complete and compliant with all the various phases, but more importantly, to look at the extent to which it's aligned with the DDM, because now that we're talking through the DDM language, we then felt it's important that we don't lose sight of the alignment between the ITP and the DDM. So the part on the contract responsibilities at this stage had to cover all those issues that have been raised. But we still remain very concerned with the salary bill. I think Honourable raised the issue of the bill is very high. And I do hear that there are statements being made that is being contained. But I still think that the FRP target may not be actually attained. Now, if you look at the last question raised by Honourable Mpumi, I think so, in relation to whether we think that the FRP is getting traction, my view is that if you look at the financial ratios and norms that are supposed to be achieved as per the FRP, if you look at the decisions taken by council in relation to the financial implications, which are financial implications, one gets a sense that whatever target was set for ourselves to achieve may not be attained in the short term, and that there is a reversal, or there may be a reversal in terms of sales case. The 3% savings that are supposed to be attained by the municipality in the short term may not be realized as well. So there's a great deal of work to be done in terms of cost containment by the country, including the issue that has been raised about obviously themselves. So I do want to say that in some much that yes, there is a bit of worry we have. If you look at the presentation by Treasurer and Costa, our risks that we have identified point to the fact that there is a danger in relation to non-achievability of the package in the short term around the FRP. And I think there's a great deal of commitment to be done by leadership in the country and ourselves to ensure that we don't derail from the course set up with regard to the plan around the FRP. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Without going down through that line, I think now we must allow the municipality, because I think the response from COGTA was general, and when I say general, it addressed generally on issues that we wanted to hear what is being done. Can we allow the municipality, Honorable Mayor? I'm trying to manage and see progress as we move. The many hands, I'll come back to you, Nombulelo. I don't know whether you want to speak on behalf of the municipality.
No, Chair, I was going to respond to one matter that was raised by Honorable Mpumi with regards to the issue of the the percentage on the employee related costs.
Let's allow you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. Good morning to the Honorable Members, the MECs, the Honorable Councillors, and the HOGs and the colleagues from Treasury. I think, Honorable Chair, on slide number 9, it was indicated that the employee-related costs, I think on that one, Chair, is the employee-related costs as well as the remuneration of the councillors, which is sitting at 49.9%. So it's both for the employees and the councillors, and it is based on the budget of the municipality. However, even if you look at that percentage, it is still high because according to the MFMA circular from National Treasury, it must be sitting at the norm of 35%. Now, if we look at the slide 14, which was mentioned by the Honorable Nkomsa, is with regards to the percentage which is sitting at 34%. That is the actual percentage spent on the remuneration, the employee-related cost. And the reason why that one is below, it is because of the high operating expenditure in a municipality. Then it makes that percentage to be low. But if you can compare that percentage with the operating revenue, the actual amount that is received as from the municipality as a collection, you will note that it will be very high and the salaries will be unaffordable. And then the last part, Chair, is on the issue that the overall support, which also DG Mlokoti has touched on. We've got two strategic documents that we have designed as a province to make sure that there is a focused support in the ATM in terms of the budget, in terms of the financial statement, supply chain and asset management. To such an extent, NT then, through our engagement, decided to deploy an MFIP advisor, a technical advisor on expertise on financial management to also support Amatol, because that is what we have submitted as a province, that they need a focused support for the program is going to run for the 2 years. Thank you so much, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm just trying to guide the, I think this was a good intervention to say maybe let's just fill that gap. I see the end of Fatima Ma is not complete, but she did raise her hand whilst we were allowing these members to speak. Maybe let me hear that hand so that we don't leave it out.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Professor. Good morning to you. Good morning to the MBC of the Eastern Cape and Honorable Members of Parliament and everyone who's in the meeting. Chair, I am Fatima, PEC member of SALGA and the Chief of Inamatol. But Chair, you would remember that King Sangonto was part of the members that were going to do presentations of SALGA, but he was having a problem with the network. So I'm worried if ever we can have questions and response on those questions without having the presentation of SALGA. Is it not possible, Chair, to have that presentation before we go to Amatori to respond? Thank you very much, Chair.
No, thank you. That's why I'm saying if I see a hand, it's only that hands cannot speak and say there's this. We know that presentation was cut in the middle. If now it is ready for us to take that, I think we can appreciate that. Are you the one or somebody else? Okay, this King. Okay. Let's proceed.
No, thanks very much, Chairperson. My apologies for the I'm not sure, Chair, where I adopted, but this is just a judicial. This like Chairperson does indicate that Salva is not adopted called municipal with its support.
I'm not sure if it is me again.
And its focus is more to deal with issues that are raised. Again, Chair.
Yes.
We lost
I assume Honorable Councillor Hulashe, as we ask questions, we know what is the role of SALGA as members of parliament, and we have been interacting with the different municipalities and the support that they are supposed to provide. So if we, without having this presentation, it may not stop us from engaging. But if it comes to a question that becomes difficult, I think we'll find a way to manage it. Otherwise, it's still breaking. Let's allow the municipality to respond. And when I say municipality mayor, you line up your team as to how best to respond to the question. So in other words, take charge of the responses. Over to you, Mayor.
Thank you very much once again, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, let me start with the first comment by the Honorable Member on the total number of employees. The total number of employees categorized as permanent, temporary, contract employees, and the permanent employees staff complement is 1,263, and then the contract is 27, and then directors are supposed to be 5, that is section 56, but currently they are 3, and the other ones are in an acting capacity. On the wage bill, the wage bill is...
Sorry, sir, even the 6-10 contract is getting an age. We are going to do that exercise.
No. Sorry, Katia Masola, who can remove or switch this one off? Bridget Masola, you are disturbing our meeting. Over to you, Mayor.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I was trying to address the wage bill that has skyrocketed to a whopping 67 million per month in the past. That has since been addressed a little bit because currently we are sitting at 59 million. And the 59 million is as a result of the increment because the recovery plan placed it to 56 million. And then the impact of the increase was 3 million a month. So it gave rise to 59 million now, which is still far below 67 million, which was the state of affairs in the past. So that's the situation with regards to that. As to how do we then address that, we rely pretty much on natural attrition on that one, because we took a conscious decision that we won't fill certain positions that are not necessary, that are redundant, whenever they are created or they are left vacant. And we will ensure that only critical positions are filled. And secondly, we took a decision that we will then, when we advertise the position, we'll advertise the position at the right grade. As of now, we've since advertised the position of the MM at the right grade, not at that 2.4 million which was paid to the then acting MM, then MM. Now it's having the you know, the tone of the regulation, which says between 1.4, 1.7 and 1.9, that is the maximum of the 1.9, and then the minimum is 1.4, and the midpoint is 1.7. So it advertises that, so that when we start filling those vacancies that are available, we then were then conscious of the fact that we need to reduce, you know, the salary scale. So currently we are at that. And also would like to encourage the workers who are old enough to exit the institution. That is another way of ensuring that we reduce the employee cost, employee-related cost. The investigation of the CFO. The CFO has since been suspended, and the process is underway. In terms of the council resolution, within 3 months we must have determined whether the CFO should be dismissed or not. So the processes are underway. The investigation is continuing. One way until the 3 months comes to an end. The issue of political leadership, which says there's one honorable member that asked what I mean by change of political leadership. By change of political leadership, I meant that the mayor, the executive mayor, the speaker, and the chief whip were replaced. And then, of course, when the mayor is replaced, it would mean it would have an effect on the mayoral committee, which would also be changed. But in this instance, the council took a conscious decision that for the purposes of continuity, let us not make a significant change on the mayoral committee. So a number of mayoral committee members were retained. I think only two were changed, and then the impact remained. It was not tampered with. And all other committees of council remained. So there's no significant change in political leadership. The question of who will be held liable for fruitless and wasteful expenditure pertaining to appointment of an unqualified MM for the past 5 years. The situation there is still difficult to determine. Because as we speak, the issue has been in the courts of law for quite some time. Even the incumbent has challenged the setting aside by the court. And up until the finalization of the case, it will then be determined as to what needs to be done. Is it recoverable or not? That is the salary. And that was paid to Mr. Mnyimba. And due to that, we have the view that we need to wait until the final the finalization of the case. And as soon as the case is finalized, then it will be determined as to who is there any person liable for the payment of the money that the municipality lost, and who is that individual, or who are those individuals. That would then be determined. And of course, the issue of support is addressed by COGTA. But I also must say COGTA is assisting us a great deal, because after we've requested COGTA to come to our rescue concerning the MM, the COGTA has since seconded Mr. Somana to be the acting MM. And of course, on the issue of the suspension of CFO, the suspension of CFO, Honorable Chair,
was not a decision that was taken willy-nilly. It was a decision that was taken because of a number of issues raised, including non-implementation of the action plan of the Auditor General, including the fact that there hasn't been a change in terms of the audit outcome from disclaimer to adverse, adverse two consecutive years. So those were the considerations that were made by council, and then including the non and a lack of improvement on the revenue collection. So as a result, the council took that decision. And then in the same council, a person to act on the position was appointed, and that acting person is qualified to be the CFO because the person who has majored in accounting and finance and is having a BCom degree and he has been in the employ for a number of years. So he's a qualified person to occupy that position. The bloated organogram and incorrect grading. This seems to be a mountain to climb, Honorable Chairperson, because if you look into the situation now, you need to strike a balance there between, you know, ensuring that we implement Makala judgment as well as the rights of workers. As a result, whenever we begin implementing the Makala judgment and the agreement between us and workers, what normally happens now is the order of the day now that they take us to court every time we disagree. And we lose all the cases in the court. For instance, just recently, we have lost a case on the essential car user scheme. The court ruled that we need to pay workers, we need to restore that benefit and pay workers with effect from the date when we stop paying them. So which has huge financial implications for the institution. And almost all the cases that the workers take to court with regards to a Makada judgment, we lose them. But we're not saying we do not have a will to implement Makada judgment. We're trying to implement it. But whenever we implement it, there is a court challenge and we lose those cases. And again, on the issue of us occupying the building, which is expensive, the building is still occupied by the municipality. We're due to leave the building in February next year. Because by the time that decision was taken, there was already a lease agreement that was signed. So we're supposed to leave to vacate the premises in February next year. And we've since started renovating our own building. Remember, we had our own building in Buffalo City, East London municipality. Our own building there is a building that can take a significant number in terms of our staff. But the challenge that we face now is that these buildings are being renovated, and when we foresee, when we anticipate that we might not exactly meet that target in terms of February. So we might have to leave the building and occupy another building which is less expensive whilst the completion of renovation is being done. So that's the predicament that we are facing. And on the issue of the issue raised by Honorable Umza, it was answered, the issue of 34%, 49%, it was answered. And on the issue of mitigating the factors on a CFO,
As I've indicated, we've got a qualified acting CFO, and certainly will ensure that the financial statements are now submitted as it is indicated that we are at 70% now in terms of completion of financial statements. But the predicament we are facing, I must state to the committee that we still experience a challenge of the company that we, or the service provider that we contracted for asset registered asset management is still giving us a rough ride in terms of cooperating, because it demands that we increase the money for payment, which was 10 million in the initial contract. Now they are demanding 15 million, which is far above the initial contract. So we're sitting with that predicament and would like to be assisted. Maybe we have to take them to court because they have signed the contract of 10 million, but now they want us to pay 15 million. And they are saying they can perhaps sabotage us in terms of the work that they are doing if we don't yield to their demand. So it's the situation that we are sitting with now. On water losses, we do lose water as a result of dilapidated infrastructure. It is being addressed through water conservation and demand activities, and as such, would also like to state that we do implement the credit control policy of the municipality, and we cut on weekly basis, we disconnect, we first formulate a disconnection list, and then we provide to those departments that are affected. And then naming and shaming the departments that are affected as required by the committee. Education owes us 3 million. Rural development owes us 1 million. Correctional services, 980,000. Health, 7 million. Sports, 176,000. Agriculture, 66.
Sorry, Chair.
Social development, 520.
Yes.
Can we discuss, Mayor? Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Can I ask the mayor to be a bit slow, because we are noting here.
Okay.
We are not only recording.
Okay.
He has noted that. Okay.
So it's let me start. Education owes 3,183,572. And then rural development owes 1,402,855. Correctional services owe 980,000. Health owe 7,500,000. Sport owed 176,686,000, so to speak. Agriculture owes 66,000, and then social development owes 6,820,162, and public works 6 million, and provincial public works 2 million. So that's what is being owed to us by the department. I have already indicated what is owed to us by the municipality. But in certain instances, in municipalities, we took a decision that in some municipalities, we owe them and they owe us. And we took a decision that we need to offset the debt. In a municipality where we owe more, and they owe us less, we offset the debt. So that's what we have undertaken to do, and we did that. And I think I have covered almost all the questions, unless the one that I have left out. I will be reminded by you, Honorable Chairperson, if I've left out any question in terms of responses. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
We are now on response. If there's anyone from the I think there's something officials from the municipality, something that has not been touched, but I'm also a public representative. This gives me an opportunity to raise a matter that was a community member. A good project, Yagu Kotana domestic water supply. Old Roma, Masipadalwa. Siakala, Ngula, Usologwe Kala. Siawe, Nzumsikodwa, Imali, Itaigene, Inyanga, Black, Yini, Itad, Kanindi, Kukumise, Tidingu Mrs. Chikela Engamangu. Ukubelege Mrs. Chikela lwesitmalo tatu kasi. Ibu strong in strong wesiku project ya kukotana domestic water supply. Ye kwa upata. Sikelu men. Itike kakufu lwelponga. And if the land at Uba, a man, then so. But a babu call Abatodwa Lamalu. Babu call from the community who might say there's something that we missed out before I go to members for follow up questions. Yaubonag Sanja, I will see your hands as you raise them. Honorable Speaker, the Xhosa I was reading a letter from a community or a worker from the water project in Amakwe in the Amatola District Municipality.
Thank you.
So I don't seem to see any. Oh, I see Honorable Peza, Honorable Peggy Hadebe. And those are the follow-ups for now. Honorable Peza.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Very, very pleased. Well, the first thing is that, Chair, I want to remind the municipality of Section 153 of the Constitution, which provides that a municipality must structure and manage its administration and budgeting and planning processes to give priority to the basic needs of the community and to promote social and economic development of the community. And this does not mean that a municipality must employ people that it cannot afford or are funded. Just because a municipality or a province has actually, or a district has actually done so through promising of the people that about work during the elections. Can we just get a sense or some commitment of how the action that has been taken in the past and what nature will it take moving forward in terms of resolving that particular matter? Of a bloated organogram. That's what is the second lecture. I don't get the background, the breakdown of the businesses that are owing the municipality. Because if you can do a thorough breakdown like the presenter did of the departments that are owing the municipality. You can do the same in terms of the businesses that are owing the municipality, so that you get all those who are owing municipality to pay what is due to the municipality, because that money is greater than the money that the municipality owes to water boards and so forth. So meaning that the debt can be resolved by those, and how do they seek to do that apart from the seemingly victimization of the communities in terms of, apart from the load shedding that we experienced, the first thing is the people, then the businesses are the last. Like we're seeing here in this presentation, just because they have privilege of being business in South Africa, you know. So those are the two matters that I want clarity on. Thank you, Chair.
So, Honourable Hunter-Bell.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable President. I also wanted to highlight the issue of businesses. And on top of that, the departments that have been mentioned, how many of those have you disconnected services? I'm mindful of the critical services that you need to tread carefully. For example, the health, you can't just disconnect. But there are departments where you can disconnect services. Of those that you have mentioned, please indicate to us the disconnection that have you undertaken in those departments. We need the list of the businesses that are owing municipalities. They must also be named and shamed so that they are going to understand and realize that we're serious about paying for services rendered. To the Department of COPTA that gave concurrence to the appointment of Mr. Nima, can I get an understanding how was it possible that they missed the 2012 Western Cape Court judgment when it was handed down against Mr. Nima when he was appointed as the municipal law manager in Oslo Municipality. Thank you so much, Chair.
Honorable Mumza.
Thanks, Chair, again. Chair, the municipal accommodation at Chislehurst, with it walking rental, high rental and fees, was at some point, if I'm correct, in 2017, it was recommended that the municipality, in actually addressing its financial recovery plan, it must consider relocating from that accommodation back to its own house in East London. Can we be informed by the mayor what exactly has this been? So this factor that has been a stubborn consideration that they remain despite these advices and recommendations. To remain there was for such number of years. Whilst then this rental was so very expensive and unaffordable to the municipality, actually eating into its meager coffers. The second point is that the Matholetis municipality in its ordinary sitting of the 31st January 2012 had resolved to authorize the executive mayor then to appoint an externally independent legal firm to conduct a full investigation into the incidents of gender-based violence against Councillor Hulashe and all the attended violence within the municipality, which Councillor pronounced as a barbaric act of assault. What has been the outcome of this particular investigation, Chair? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mbumza. We'll now allow the municipality to respond to these few questions that are follow-ups. Honorable Mayor and team.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. On that one of the community member that has got a complaint, I would ask Mr. Dungu, the engineering director, to respond. Mr. Dungu, can you respond to that one? Here is his response.
Yes,
Honorable Chair.
Well, thank you very much. As earlier indicated, we are following up on a list of municipalities.
Chair?
Yes, Honorable Mbumza.
The mayor has not responded to my question around the outcome of the investigation that was instituted by Kansai. When you check gender-based violence and femicide against the councillor.
Okay, yes. On that one, let me state that due to the fact that the matter is in the court, we're still waiting for the court to decide. But the council, I believe, has concluded that, but that was not tabled to council. But I will make a follow-up on that so that it can be tabled to council. But that individual who was involved in dragging was suspended. So that is the situation. That individual who instructed that councillor be dragged was suspended. But there is no further action up until the court decides.
I noted, but like I said earlier, I should have indicated, whilst we might know that there's something called portfolio committee, that the portfolio committee is an extension of parliament. And when we ask questions, we ask them on behalf of the members of the public. And we expect answers. Now, the rules of parliament, I'm not sure if they were going to allow you, Mayor, to say the matter is sub judice. I'll consult my rules. But the expectation is always to get an answer when questions get raised. I'm just talking about it as a principle. But I suspect we have raised questions, and I think where we have indicated where we need more information, that information should be provided within the prescribed time frames. Members would remind me about that. This breakdown that you have just spoken about. But the emphasis here is turning around the municipality and turning it around from what was said in public, that you have run out of money. So I don't want us to have doubts now that, because when I was listening to provincial government, treasury as well as COGTA, there seems to be, in terms of the pace and whatever, there seems to be some imbalance here. And especially on the grading and the court decision, the implementation of that court decision. So let's not find that we might not have a common understanding in terms of what needs to be done, especially if we appreciate the problem that is faced by the municipality, because in the end, it impacts on the delivery of services to the people, especially water and sanitation. I didn't hear much. Somebody asked a time frame in terms of your plan as to when would we reach universal access to this important resource, which is called water and sanitation. So it's something that you must work on.
And obviously we would want to get that sense. Well, our duty is more, we're not part of decisions that you must take. It's more on what you have committed to the people. If it must be done within this time frame, that's what we want to see. So one would say there will be a number on areas where we said give us more information. That must be done within the next 2 weeks, where we have asked questions, breakdown, but all of us, the intention is to turn around the situation in Amatole. Now, the issue of labor relations, when it comes to the matter of employer-employee, the public is not part of that. The people who represent the public is yourselves. That's why I appreciated the number of councillors who are part of this. So we must feel that sense that the public is represented. When I say public, their interests. Because you can't not do water and sanitation. But the issue is about salaries. Who gets what and how much? The essence of us being there is to provide services to our people. And let's say that being prioritized, but we are not the leadership of Amatole. You are the leadership, so you must balance all of that. So that's what one would suggest. From now on, we would be following up on a number of issues that must indicate a turnaround. In fact, we have got a list of areas. First one is this tone of the leadership, that we want this leadership to convince us that they are committed to turn around Amatole. And when we say turn around Amatole, by the way, that's why we have got these questions. Into ilungiswa xa ibiyonakele. Uba aniyiboni uba ibiyonakele le nto kuthiwa mayilungiswe, singangakwazi ukuyilungisa. So naloo nto ke, I think we must be very clear here where things have gone wrong. We must not be seen to be persuading people to do what they are supposed to know. So that's why we talk leadership. So that's the first one. Now, on these issues of public funds, where Auditor General is concerned, we can't, in fact, you are right to suspend that CFO, because that's what we are now reading in the Municipal Finance Management Act. In fact, that's what this Auditor General's report was putting up to say, there must be accountability now. And these are the people who must account. So you were right. If we have a mayor, and a mayor whose responsibility are clearly outlined, you can't do that. If we have got a municipal manager whose responsibilities are very clearly defined as accounting officer, CFO, we want to see action. And who must take action? It's the council that has got executive and legislative power. It's not us. For us, it's a wish, but it's a wish that is prescribed by the law. So hence I'm saying suspending the CFO who failed, because this is what we are saying here. We can't understand when an annual financial statement that is supposed to be submitted on a prescribed date, somebody fails to do that, and no action. So I think we agree with yourselves there, but what is important as well is a follow-up on that to make sure that it does not only end suspending somebody. It's not the actual action of disciplining a person for failure to do what is supposed. So that must apply to everybody, not necessarily to that one, but we appreciate
At least we can pick a sense, no consequences. That's what the Auditor General is reminding us every day. We want that to be turned around. And there must be consequences. There must be investigations for irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure and action. But what we want to see is commitment from the leadership. So that is why we are doing, we will follow up on all of this, because all the municipalities we have visited, we are looking at what we established, what did we suggest must be done, and what follow-ups we must do. But thank you very much for the presentations first, because these are records. Our officials are going to go through them. We usually have standard questions to ask you when we interact with you, and where there are gaps, where there's need for follow-up, we'll do that. These were my closing remarks, but I would allow you, Mayor, if there's anything you think we must take into account or note as we close the meeting, Mayor.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, what I want to say is that as an institution of Amatole, we appreciate that we're always guided and we're called to account, and would like to state that we are committed to ensuring that the municipality implement mandatory financial recovery plan effectively going forward, working with COGTA and Treasury. And I need to state to the members, honorable members of the committee, that we'll do all what is within our power to prevent corruption where it has occurred, to deal with that, to confront that reality, so that ultimately, we are a municipality that is regarded as a center for service excellence, and want to ensure that ultimately we are among the municipalities that have recorded a clean audit. I will understand that the issue of employee-related costs remains an Achilles heel on our side, but I can safely say, working together in unison, we will achieve that. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Otherwise, thank you very much, especially to all those who are providing support to Matole. It might be National COGTA, National Treasury, Provincial COGTA, Provincial Treasury, Auditor General's Office in the Eastern Cape, and SALGA. So I'd like to say thank you very much. All your records are noted, and our wish, all of us, is the municipality turning around. We didn't use, by the way, Honorable Sanga, the word corruption throughout this engagement. Oh, it was only the Honorable Kaiser who did just talk in passing about corruption. But we know that's one of the challenges that confront all municipalities across the country. And once we hear that from the leadership, we appreciate it, because it actually affects the delivery of services to communities. Otherwise, thank you very much. I know the MEC is not here, that's why I didn't ask him to make comments. Why I always want you to make comments is because of where we started. Those who are in the executive have got more responsibility to respect the laws of the country. So the council has got those executive powers to do oversight. You don't wait for a committee in Cape Town. Provincial executive, they do oversight over municipalities.
They don't need to wait for. And we greatly appreciate now the focus by Treasury on supporting municipalities. I think they are reading the Act well, this Municipal Finance Management Act well, and would encourage them to continue the good work. The meeting is, if there's nobody, we'll fight with that. The meeting is adjourned. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, Chair. Long live the Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Hello, Chair. Colleagues.